G'day, how the bloody hell are ya? We are live. Average Man Podcast, episode number 155. Haven't chosen a song for this one yet, so we don't have a name. But I'll get that sorted shortly after recording. So it is Monday the 17th of July. My family has come home this weekend. And I am off work for the day. I'm off work for the day because it was my boy's birthday yesterday, and they only got home on the Saturday. So they got home Saturday. It was his birthday on the Sunday, and he had a sleepover with some of his mates at ours last night. So I took the day off today so we could obviously get through that ordeal last night and then just spend a bit of extra time with them because I haven't seen them for, 2 weeks, man. So the sleepover. Oh, bloody hell, the sleepover. It was good for him and for them because they had fun. They had a good time. But it was a bit of a nightmare. It was a bit of a nightmare for us, mate. We've done that now. It's not something we need to do again. So for a period of time anyway, those kids were up until, about 2 a.m. in the morning and they weren't quiet either. So they're up until 2 a.m. And, mate, it was testing me. I'm just going to move that camera. There we go. It's a bit more central. That works well. Yeah, so, man, the four of them stayed in the toy room. We put some doonas, some mattresses and stuff and doonas in there for them. And they had their iPads. So I put a movie on that didn't get watched, and they ended up just going on their iPads, and they all join on Roblox together. So Roblox is a game that the kids who are his age, he's 9, he turned 9 yesterday, around about his age, they play on their iPad. He's got a Switch and he plays Fortnite and a few other games, but that seems to be like the big one for his age group. So I'm just making sure this thing's following me. I'm playing with the, playing with the new gimbal that I've got for my camera at the moment. So I'm just going to, it seems like it's a little bit on the piss. Like it wants to go a little bit. Sorry, you've got to forgive me. New technology, mate. I'm just trying to make sure it's all working well. So Roblox is the game that these lads tend to play the most. And it's like a first-person game. You walk around. There's a bunch of different games within the game, smaller games within the game. So you create your own avatar. You got like a lobby where you go to and you choose the different games you go into, and they all go on the same server. So him and his mates can all go on together and chat to each other and stuff. So he can play with his mates when they're at home and he's at home over the weekend and whatnot. And they're all in the same room physically and digitally in the game last night, which was pretty cool. Like when we were kids having sleepovers, we'd play video games. It was always on the one console, but so we'd play, say, if you were playing something like Mario Kart or Street Fighter, two-player games, you would have typically two-player games. You'd have like maybe if there was four of you, you'd play the game and the loser would pass the console, the controller on, and the winner would stay on the console. But if you were playing like GoldenEye 007, there was a four-person sort of option on that game where you'd have the screen split into four, so you could have all four of you playing at the same time, which is pretty cool. You couldn't see your screen very well, but it was cool, all you and your three mates in the same game together trying to find each other and kill each other. And that was cool, but it was just different to see how these kids do it now. So they've all got their own iPad. They're all in the same game in the same on the same server, talking to each other, but sitting in the same room as well. So they were just raucous, mate, like all evening, laughing and carrying on, and I'd go in and rouse on them, "Oi, keep it down, you lads, or I'm going to split yous up, or I'm going to take your boys home." I just said that a couple of times. "Or I'm going to take the iPads off you," because they were making heaps of noise. And they'd go real quiet for a bit, and then you'd hear them like in there, and you'd hear them whispering, and you'd hear someone get a bit loud. The other kids go, "Shh, you're going to get us in trouble. Shades, Dad's going to come back in." And that'll last for about half an hour until the volume slowly rose back up to an unacceptable level again. And, man, like 2 a.m. in the morning, this is when I went in and just went, nah, just iPads away, lights off, keep it quiet. You kids are keeping me awake. We're done. You're done. Turn it off. Finished. So, Yeah, man, it was good fun, and they, you know, they had a ball. They ate all the crappy junk food and had a sleepover, and you know, it was good to get that done. But man, we're not doing it again. They're going to sleep over at his mate's house next time. I won't tell the parents how shit it was. So I'll just let them figure that out for themselves. But I told Heidi straight afterwards, you're not having to sleep over for your birthday, hun. You can have your friends over and you can choose one friend to sleep over and the rest of them can fuck off. I didn't say it like that. I said the others can go home and you can have one friend stay over. Which is the same thing. So, yeah, what else did we do for his birthday? Before the boys came around, we woke up and did some presents in the morning. He got spoilt. Em's bought stuff while she was down in Perth. I bought stuff while I was up here, as well as his main present, which was a scooter. So we didn't communicate very well there, and he kind of got a whole bunch of stuff. And, you know, he got stuff from grandparents and that while he was down there as well in Perth. Went horse riding for his birthday. His auntie bought him horse riding and a horse riding experience, which was cool. And then he wanted to go out for lunch with me yesterday, so we went down to the Heady, which was cool, man. Just having a one-on-one with the boy. He had an orange juice and some fish and chips. I had a beer and fish tacos, and that was pretty cool hanging out. And I'm pretty stoked to be going down the Heady. So I don't think I've done a podcast since that's been open. I've done a bunch of posts on my Instagram, a couple of little reviews here and there, but it's really cool that joint's open, man. Me and him skated down, or he and I skated down there. Well, I skated. He took the scooter, his brand new scooter he got for his birthday, down there yesterday. It's like a kilometre away. It's maybe 5 minutes on the scooter and the skating, which is cool. And I've done that a couple of times since it's been open. They're definitely having some teething problems. But, you know, I guess that's to be expected. They're sort of not even officially open yet. They just were ready enough to start serving, so they open the doors and they've been getting absolutely swamped every single day. So we're hoping that they sort those teething problems out. I put a review up on my Instagram page when it first opened. I guess that went to my Facebook page as well, about, you know, we're excited to see the place open and to get in there and how, you know, cool it was that they were finally up and running and how nice it looked. And then I went in there and had a bit of a good review on the place as well. And the general manager for the Prindleville Group, who are the guys that own the Heady there, actually got hold of me based off that reel and said he wants to catch up and show me through, do a bit of a tour, let me know what their plans are down there. And yeah, just give us the full run through, which is pretty cool. So I've emailed him back and we're looking at setting up a time to do that. But since he saw the first video I posted, I've posted another video on Friday evening where I was, I wouldn't call it a scathing review, but I was humorously having a dig because I was so disappointed on Friday afternoon. You know, I went down there after work, had a bit of a prick of a week and just really wanted to go down, have a beer, have a feed the last night before the family get home and just have a bit of my own time and a beer, you know, beer down there and soak up the sun and the afternoon. And that's kind of what I was working towards for the last couple of days of the week, last week. Got down there at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, went up and ordered some food, the fish tacos that I ended up having yesterday, and they go, oh, sorry, the kitchen's not open until 5. And I was like, oh, that pissed me off because I was like, that's standard Headland shit where they don't open the kitchen on a Friday afternoon until 5 o'clock. I was hoping that we wouldn't be making those same sort of mistakes at this place. I was like, okay, whatever, fine, I'll grab a beer, the 150 lashes, which that I'd been there on Tuesday for a fella from work's going away drinks, and they like finally had some good beer on tap because that was one of my main concerns, was they still had shit beer on tap there. Had 150 lashes, went, all right, no worries, I'll have a pint of 150 lashes. And they go, ah, we're all sold out of the 150 lashes. And I was just like, man. And the only other beers were Heineken, Great Northern. No, I think they were out of Great Northern as well. Heineken, Swan Draft, and Carlton Dry or something. I was just like, oh, don't worry about it. I turned around and walked out. So I had a bit of a go about that on my Facebook, on my Instagram reel and my Facebook, and I'm wondering if he's seen that as well. But, you know, it's I was just being honest. And again, I was it was, you know, done in sort of with humor. But I got to be honest, Matt, that was disappointing. But I do understand that they've just opened the doors and they're not quite even fully open yet. So I'm interested to hear from him, to get the rundown on what they're going to do, and even give my couple of my suggestions. Because as I said to him in my email, when I wrote back to him, I said I feel like I've got a pretty good finger on the pulse as far as what people in this town want. I know there's plenty of people who are happy to drink Great Northern and you know Carlton Draft and whatever other shit beer you've got on tap there. They'll go and drink that till the cows come home. But I feel like there's plenty of but there already is places for those people who are happy with that to go and drink. For other people who enjoy nice places, nice beer, they want to go out and have a nice beer paired with a nice meal. That's kind of what we've been looking for, what we've been waiting for, and what we've been excited about. There's plenty of people in this town who like to drink pale ales. You know, like even though 150 Lashes isn't like the cream of the crop of pale ales, it's better than a Great Northern or a Carlton Mid, and it's pretty good on tap. It's a great start. You know, you can get Pirate Lives, you can get Bolters, you can get Little Creatures, you can get, there's all these great pale ales. You know, it's all Australian, a lot of them are boutique or just Australian owned pale ales that you can get. That I think should be a mainstay in most modern pubs, which is what this place is. So I'd be keen to give him that information and also that insight, and also the fact that I think on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday afternoon, they would have seen this themselves already, and you pretty much guarantee you're going to be able to justify keeping your kitchen open between 12 and 5 each day. So I think they normally shut the kitchen about 2 o'clock, reopen at 5 o'clock. On a Friday afternoon, people are there by 3 or 4 o'clock. They want to have a hamburger and a beer or some chips and a beer. Saturday, people might not come in during your lunch hours or your dinner hours. They come down at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock and would just like to have a meal straight away or some food. So I think you maybe can have limited staff numbers as far as the kitchen runs, but definitely keep your kitchen open on those days. You're going to keep selling food. You're going to keep getting people to the door. You're going to make your money. And, you know, I'm hoping they're open to hearing some of that sort of stuff. It's cool that he saw the reaction that was getting online. He reached out and said, come down and have a chat and we'll show you what we're doing here and give you the bit of the tour through. And as I said to him, mate, I'm more than happy to be an ambassador for you guys. I'm an advocate for what you're doing here. I'm excited about it. I want you guys to succeed. The whole town does. But yeah, that the negative review that I gave is what lets people who follow me and who listen to me know that when I say something positive about the place, it's like I'm being honest. It's, you know, I'll tell you if I think it's falling short, and I'll tell you when I think they're doing great, and I'll tell you if I think they've got some good plans and ideas moving forward. So we went down there on the Sunday yesterday, me and the boy. And the guy's wife, Joy, she was down there cruising around, helping to serve tables and chatting to people and getting the vibe of the place. And she sort of recognized me from the video and came up and had a chat. And I said the same thing. I'm really excited about what you guys are doing here. She said, thanks so much for the nice review. And I said, well, yeah, we want you guys to succeed, you know. So she also gave Shady some free ice cream, which was nice. He got on his birthday, got free ice cream. And I just thought that's cool. They're already noticing some people who are talking about them online and then engaging with those people and are happy to, you know, it seems like they're happy to engage and take some suggestions. So that's a really good sign, mate, because people in this town are pretty forgiving and pretty keen to get out and spend some of their money on things like this, like good food and drink, you know, at a nice venue. And I think if you meet us like halfway, you'll keep getting people through the door. You know, there's so many services in town, not just in the hospitality industry, in all the industries, but in the hospitality industry as well, that it's like all they do is open the doors. It's like, yeah, we're open. Come in. You know, if you want to come in and spend your money, but we're not going to go out of our way to do anything special for you. And that's kind of offensive, I guess, to a lot of us. We kind of feel like we have to go there because there's no other option. So if you give us, if you meet us halfway and go, hey, what do you guys want? What are you looking for? What interests you? What can we do better? And then they look, you know, you don't have to take everything I say on and do it, but the idea that they're speaking to people like me, and I'm assuming other people who are willing to engage with them in the community as well, if they start considering those things and going, okay, this seems like something that the people of this town want, and they get and they meet us halfway and have a crack, we'll keep coming through the door, we'll keep throwing our money at it, mate. So hopefully I think that they are smart enough to understand that, because these people do this sort of thing all around the state. They did the Mangrove Hotel up in Broome. They did the Quokka's Arms over in Rottnest. They did the Cottesloe down at Cot. I think they've done a bunch of them around the state. So it's not like they're rookies. They know what they're doing. And I guess it's just about getting the right staff here. As the manager was saying to me yesterday, getting the staff trained up, figuring out their busy times and their quiet times, and just get a bit of a rhythm on. So they're not open fully yet. What they did have yesterday, which was a big improvement, was a secondary bar outside opened up for just drinks. So even though you line up, it takes you 10 or 15 minutes to get your food and your first drink. Once you've ordered your food, you go around the outside and there's a drink bar that was open. There was no line. So that's cool. That's a massive improvement even from 4 days ago when I was there, 5 days ago when I was there for during the week. So pretty excited about that, man. And pretty cool that they've got in touch and they want to catch up and have a run through. So when that happens, I'll see if he's happy for me to take a little video and I'll post that, and then we'll chat about it on the podcast afterwards and say what plans they have moving forward. Because I know a lot of people, everyone I speak to is super excited about this joint. The place is busy all the time. Everyone's walking around with a big smile on their face. Wow, look at this. This looks great out here. This is what this town needed. So, yeah, let's hear what their plans are and keep going down there. And if they're going to meet us halfway, go down there and spend our bloody money and make it worth it for them, mate. Finally got something nice in Headland. Yeah. It's been bloody about time, mate. So I missed the podcast last weekend. Which I'm really trying to avoid doing this year, but that was because I went out to the Marble Bar Cup on last weekend on the Saturday, and that was pretty good, man. I did it once. It's the first time I've ever done it, so I'm one and done. You know, I've been out there. I did the Marble Bar Cup. I can say I've done it, and I don't need to really ever do it again. It wasn't not because it was a shit day. It was a good day. I went out there with good people, with the social club from work. You know, we took a bus out there. Had our tickets paid for, had some money to spend over the bar, and got the bus home that night, which was awesome. And, you know, it was fine. I'd prefer to go to the Heady Cup, which is like 2 kilometres from my house. I can walk down there and walk home when I'm ready. But it was good, man. It was a good day. And as I said, I've ticked that one off the list now, been to the Marble Bar Cup races, so I can leave Headland at the end of this year and say, yeah, I did the Marble Bar Cup, because it would have been a bit sad to have been here for 12 years and not 11 years and not have done the Marble Bar Cup. So got that one ticked off. Ooh. Super glad, as I said, we had that bus home. I cruised in and saw the big camp set up there and the just dusty dirt patch and just thought, my goodness, imagine being camped in there with those savages overnight. That would be horrible. That'd be bloody horrible. Just a bunch of pissed, rowdy dudes in a dusty field, you know, running amok, all pissed up, wake up in the morning hungover and crusty and having to pack your camp up there and just dust through everything and just hungover and know you got a 2-hour drive home. Like, fuck that. So got our bus there, got our bus home. So that was awesome. I had a shower and went to bed. I was in my own bed by like 9:30 that night, and just thinking about those poor pricks. It was cold too. Those poor pricks out there freezing their ass off in that dusty, dirty field, who are going to be hungover as all hell the next day. So glad that wasn't me. The beer selection was shit. The drink selection in general was shit. Ended up drinking seltzers most of the day. It was like $10 for a beer, $15 for a spirit. So they were pretty X-y on the drinks, but you know, and I think I was a bit nervous before we headed out there as well, because originally we had like a 28-seater booked and like 28 people, and I was just thinking, man, that bus ride home is going to be hell. I get like, it takes a lot of energy for me to spend a whole day socializing, and like I have my social meter gets drained, and by the end of the day, I just kind of want to be left alone and do my own thing. So I was thinking this bus ride home is going to be painful, man. But we ended up getting a 50-seater because the original bus we had blew a gearbox and we did a bit of scrambling. So the guys who run the social club did a bit of scrambling and got us a 50-seater. So we actually had heaps of room on the bus. Cruised home, had my own seat, had my headphones in. So I'd throw the hoodie on and just kind of do my own thing on the way home, because I was peopled out by that point, you know, which was good, man, which was good. So did the Headland, did the Marble Bar Cup, sorry. I'm glad I got that one under my belt. And, you know, I woke up the next day still hungover and feeling a bit just like my head was fanging and the energy levels were just non-existent. And I just sort of thought, man, I'm 40 this year. I don't know how many more of those type of hangovers I have in me. Not enjoyable. Really wasn't enjoyable. I don't know if I'm going to keep doing that moving into my 40s, you know. It's just I don't enjoy the night enough to put up with the hangover. Like, my idea of going out and having a drink and having a good time is either going out to like a gig where you listen to music and stuff, or, you know, an event show or something like that. And typically, you're not drinking heaps when you do that because you're otherwise engaged, or going out for dinner. Going out for dinner with another couple or family or whoever, and, you know, drinks while you're having dinner. That's what we do in Bali. That's how I like to catch up with people, go to a dinner party at someone's house and have dinner and drink while you're eating and whatnot, you know. That's the kind of drinking I like to do. Occasionally I'll sit around with the boys and have some, you know, whiskeys or tequilas and listen to music and you know, by the fire or whatever it is. And I enjoy that when I'm with my good mates. But typically speaking, I'm not a session drinker. I like to go out and do something and drink while I'm doing the thing. So this session drinking and coming home and having a hangover and the whole next day is a write-off. Like, don't know how many more of those I've got in me, to be honest. And I may even be ready for a dry spell. I'm certainly going to cut the piss out during the week moving forward and just drink, you know, on the weekends. And I may even be just ready to cut the piss out for a month or something altogether. I just, the other side of it, we're heading back towards warm weather now. We've been through the middle of the Headland winter, so I really need to get my shit sorted, and, you know, cutting out the piss is probably a good way to motivate that. I don't know why I've been unmotivated. You know, I guess it's just where my mentality is at the moment. I'm a little worn out in Headland, and as I've spoken about before, you know, where I'm at with work and I guess that's leaking over into everything else. So the motivation is not there, and I really need to get the motivation or the discipline. If I don't have the motivation, the discipline needs to be there, because I've got to get a lot of shit to get sorted this year before we hit the road. You know, I feel like, I guess I've always got something on. Marble Bar Cup last week, the weekend before, there was a going away drinks I had, and then had to drop the family down at the airport. This week I had my boy's birthday. I think next week I'm going to go camping. So it's like, man, I need to make some time to get some shit done, because these weekends are just disappearing. One positive about the hangover last weekend was, like, why is that stupid camera doing that, man? It's like, keeps going on an angle. It's annoying me looking at it. I can see that the camera's not square. I need to play around with this gimbal a bit. One thing, though, what was good about the hangover last weekend was there was a great UFC card on. UFC 290. What a bloody card, mate. A couple of Aussies and Kiwis fought on that card. Robbie Lawler had his retirement fight, and he went out with a KO win in the first round. Beautiful way for a legend like Robbie Lawler to retire. It doesn't happen often. This sport that we love, you know, so much, myself and people who are into MMA, we love it so much. It's not kind to our superstars. It's not kind to the legends of the sport. Not a lot of them get to go out with a hero's farewell. Robbie Lawler did. He knocked a dude out with some nasty uppercuts early in the first round, didn't really even get hit. Walk-off KO, he gets to walk off and finish his career on top with a highlight reel knockout, which is just beautiful. Bo Nichols, he's the new middleweight phenom, who's like a super high-level, I'm not sure if he was an Olympic wrestler, I feel like he was. He's like super, super high-level wrestler that's known in the wrestling community over in the States, who transitioned over to MMA a couple of years ago. He's only like 4-5-0 or something now. He's one of those guys that is a freak athlete, as I said, super high-level wrestler. and comes with a lot of hype and is a guy that just gets better every time you see him out. So it's really exciting to see guys like that come over to the sport, and he absolutely starched his opponent in like 30 seconds. Normally he gets hold of these guys, takes them down, submits them really quickly. He knocked this guy out with real clean in and out striking. It was that shooting speed and timing that they use for wrestling that he used to, instead of shoot for the takedown, he'd jump in and hit the guy with a clean shot and then be back out of range. Hit him like three times with clean shots and the guy was pretty much done, then got on top of him and just pummeled him out of consciousness. So that was really cool. Dan Hooker, the Kiwi, who trains with Israel Adesanya, he's a lightweight. He won a fight against another guy, Jalen Turner, at lightweight. He broke his arm during that win and still gutted it out and got the TKO, I think, which was cool to see that, to see him get up. Robert Whittaker, our boy, who's the ex-middleweight champion, the Australian, and just an absolute legend in the sport. Like a really top bloke. He got TKO'd by the next middleweight contender. I was a bit worried about that happening. Rob has only lost at middleweight against Israel Adesanya before last weekend, the champ, and he's just destroyed everybody else. And he's a far better fighter than the guy that beat him. And this was my concern, was that he's a better fighter, more skilled, more tools. But this other guy's big and messy and nasty. And he seems to make fights really messy. And if he lands on you, he knocks you out. And he made it messy. He got in close. Rob couldn't keep him off him because he wasn't hurting him with his punches. And the guy got close enough and hit him with a clean shot and put him away. Really threw Rob's title contention hopes, a few fights backwards, which is a hard slog and a hard thing to take as a Robert Whittaker fan, which most people are. And then Israel Adesanya gets on the mic and throws his random racial abuse because he's from Nigeria. This guy, Drakus du Plessis, is a white South African, and they've been going back and forth online about who's the real African fighter, and Izzy gets on there and starts calling him the N-bomb, because he's black and the other guy's white, and saying he's the real African because he's black, and it was so awkward and weird. But that's teed up for the middleweight championship of the world now. Those two guys, one's from Africa, one's of African descent, one's white, one's black, now they hate each other. Whatever, it was a weird way to sell a fight, but I guess it should be a good fight anyway. I don't see that guy beating Izzy. I think that Izzy's too good with distance, and he's a real good counter fighter, and this guy comes forward, and Izzy's going to be able to hit him with kicks and time him on the way in and put him away pretty easily. But that's where we're at. The co-main event was the flyweights, the smallest male division, to absolutely complete high-level freaks, and I was speaking to somebody about this yesterday. The thing that people love about the little fighters, guys like myself who are real fans of the sport, is they've got all the tools. They've got striking, they've got the wrestling, they got the grappling, the jiu-jitsu, they have the cardio and gas tank. Just that they don't slow down, the speed is so fast, they don't get tired, they've got every skill set in the book. And a lot of the heavier guys can get away with just being a striker or a wrestler or a jiu-jitsu guy, having a couple of those put together, and they can get tired and gas out, and even though the consequences are larger for one small mistake, the timing and the distance and the speed is a completely different level. So the little guys, you just watch them go. It's amazing seeing how good and how talented and how fit that they are, and the technical battle they play of just footwork and speed and timing and how they get inside. And so, so good, man. High level fight. Always is with those top level small guys. So that was really good. And then Volkanovski, the Aussie champ at featherweight, was too good again. Another up-and-coming challenger, completely dismantled the guy, took away his crazy striking, struck with him a bit, took him down, beat him up on the floor, finished him in the third or fourth or something. Just dominated, man. It was just another dominant victory by the best featherweight of all time, who's an Australian guy, which is pretty cool as an Australian. So yeah, I've got a big section in here about the heady, but we've already been through that. Yeah, here's something that I was going to talk about quick before we get out of here. There's this guy, I spoke about him before on the podcast, I believe. Andrew Tate. I don't know if you guys know who he is. He was a kickboxer. He's an entrepreneur, English born, I think he's Romanian guy, and he's been banned previously from all social media platforms. He was kicked out of the Big Brother house when he was on the reality TV show. He was arrested late last year for being, you know, he's been accused of sex trafficking and rape allegations. And for sure, the media jumped all over this guy and really pushed the narrative, the agenda. And I've been shamed sort of on social media by people before for what was it that I mentioned him? Yeah, that's right. Some self-proclaimed male feminist journalist went after Andrew Tate and was calling for him to be banned from social media, or was celebrating the fact he had been banned from social media. And I sort of said I thought it was disgusting that this guy is celebrating the downfall of other people, and that, you know, it showed a real weakness for someone to want to silence another person's point of view just because it didn't agree with their own, and that I didn't think that was a really honourable way to conduct yourself. And some people came after me and shamed me and said, oh, how dare you, you know, how could you promote Andrew Tate? You're a father. He's a rapist and a misogynist and a this and that. And I was like, whoa, I didn't know all this stuff about the guy. All I've seen of him is some viral clips on like Instagram where he's like saying one-liner kind of, you know, sort of motivational, self-empowering type of quotes. And like, he came across as a bit of a douche and a bit of a like a playboy, but knew nothing about these rape allegations and the sex trafficking and all that sort of stuff. So I went on a bit of a deep dive on him, and it seemed like from what the media was saying at the time that, yeah, that was all substantiated, and he was actually a pretty bad dude. So I sort of came out publicly, said, look, I don't support Andrew Tate. I don't know anything about him. I didn't know anything about him, particularly when I was when I brought this up. It wasn't my initial quote, my initial stance wasn't particularly anything to do with Andrew Tate. It was about people censoring and people celebrating in the fact that somebody else is being censored and deplatformed because they don't like their point of view. And that I think is just weak and gross. He happened to be the person that that had been targeted in the particular event that sort of caught my attention. So I backed away from the whole thing. And then over the last 8 to 10 months, more and more has come out about this guy. He's out of prison now. He's out on house arrest, you know. And it seems like it's more complicated than what the media would have you believe. Shock. Horror. The media very likely didn't tell the whole story. The media very likely had an approved agenda that they were pushing. Now, I'm not saying this guy's a saint. I'm not saying he's even a good guy. I'm not saying that there's not some truth to some of the things that have been said about him as far as some of his opinions towards women. But it's certainly not as straightforward and black and white as what the media and these other people who attacked me would have you believe. They're definitely telling some lies about him. That's pretty obvious. And he is kind of against the establishment and this move towards, you know, global centralized currency and emasculating. Fucking idiot. Sorry, that's embarrassing. The emasculinity, Oh, now I don't know how to pluralize that. Making men less masculine, which is like a narrative. There you go. Just fucking hell, man. Sometimes you got to go around the word if you don't know how to fucking pronounce it. So he's definitely against this whole thing where society is trying to make men less masculine and make us more sensitive and soft and apologetic and, you know, this whole thing about toxic masculinity. And so he's a real proponent for strong males, strong male role models, strong male influences. And for sure there's been a change in the way he promotes himself online since the arrest, since he's got out of prison. It seems like a very deliberate change in tactic as far as how he promotes himself. But for sure this guy has some really good takes on life and situations and being a man and masculinity and even on women. Some really positive takes. So you'll, and it's clear that these are his thoughts, the way he talks in interviews and free flowing, and he can come back at something. These aren't just thought out, written out, practiced quotes that he's espousing on social media. It seems to be he's got a brilliant mind, right? And it seems to be perhaps in the past he's come out and promoted himself in a certain way to get some clout and to get some attention, and he used a bit of shock value, and perhaps that's been used against him, and perhaps he was even very misguided in the way he presented himself in the past. But for sure, man, some of the things this guy says, some of the things are really quite profound and really empowering for young, lost males without role models in a really positive way. And he says, again, some really respectful things about women that young men listening to him really need to hear. So very complicated, the whole situation. And like he used to promote himself as the top G. That whole saying seems to be left behind, right? And he definitely seems to be focusing more on positive advice and motivation for disenfranchised, lost young men. And kind of putting himself in the company of people like Joe Rogan and Jordan Peterson and David Goggins, as far as these outliers who are really going against the trend and showing particularly young men, and, you know, that's obviously what I'm interested in as a male, as a man that looks at the younger generation coming up and hopes that we can guide these young men in the right direction. I think that young women need their own role models and their own guidance in a positive direction as well, and I've got some opinions on the way promiscuity and within females has been kind of glorified and normalized over the last few years, and how it seems to be something that women are starting to wear as a badge, and I'm not sure how healthy that is. But I think that I can't speak to young women. They need someone, you know, they need women to come through and start being that role model and guide for them. But it definitely helps having men who have more positive opinions about women going out in the world and sharing those views with the people they meet in the way they interact with them and moving forward. That's one piece of the puzzle, is how men treat women, and having men get good advice from other men and starting to look at women differently and treating them differently is going to help shift, I think, the current climate around that female celebration of promiscuity and back into a more healthy direction, because it really is. I mean, it's a complicated issue, and there's always been that complaint that if a man sleeps with a lot of women, he's a stud, or, you know, he's the man. If a woman sleeps with a lot of men, she's a slut. There's always been that argument, and I understand what you're saying, where you're coming from, as far as, you know, apples for apples, what's fair and what not, and how it gets used as a club to belt women with and call them a slut and things like that, particularly in the past. I understand all that, but there is just something intrinsically different, like there's something... There's something about women having that caring nature, women being mothers, women being the more sensitive of the two sexes, that gets really diminished when promiscuity is celebrated and they're into the same, like even in the meme culture and pop culture, like where, like you think about music, like Wet Ass Pussy and like all these fucking like Nicki Minaj's and Cardi B's and like these women who are just feral, and there's so many other women are celebrating them, and then you got young girls singing these fucking songs about just being filthy, filthy whores. It's like, it's not good that men are doing that. I'm not saying it's good that men are doing that. It's kind of something that happens when you got all that testosterone inside your body, and men are very competitive for fucking, for sexual partners and for everything in life. It's kind of more like a casualty of the situation that we're trying to help men navigate through. I don't think that encouraging women to go into the same kind of headspace and go down the same path is really helping the culture at all, you know? I don't think that's the answer. So helping men see women differently, and it's so hard with all these, again, with social media and like these trends and these cultures get perpetuated so quickly, and like porn, like the access to all different types of very unnatural types of, unnatural as in things that used to be a fetish are now kind of like normalized, right? And you can just find a large community of people who are into the same weird shit online and just think that it's fucking normal, and then go out in your normal dating life and expect women to behave like that. And then women get that feedback from so many different men. They think, well, it is normal to act like that. And then there's sort of like this slow degeneration of morals that is happening on like a large scale, tied in with this whole degradation of the gender roles and society, and like there's just all this weird shit happening, and I don't think it's really such a bad thing to have some old fashioned morals, just kind of taught to younger people again. Even though some of them seem outdated and sexist, I guess finding the right way to package those in the right way to help men respect themselves and respect the women around them, to help women respect themselves and to help keep some of those lines. I mean, we do need some lines. Men aren't women. Women aren't men. You can't just become a woman overnight because you feel weird in a man's body. You can't just teach your kids that sex doesn't matter and you can choose whatever gender you want to be. Like, there is lines, right? And this whole, like, we've moved too far towards being progressive and accepting of everything, that we've lost those lines, and people have lost the guides that they use to determine who they are and their role in society, you know, and all these sorts of things. And I think guys like Andrew Tate, again, I'm not sure what's happening there. I don't know if the sex trafficking – I don't think the sex trafficking and rape allegations are real. I really think that is a character assassination that's been put against him. I don't know. I don't know that. I don't have the evidence. That's my feeling on it. It makes sense because he's against the establishment. They found ways, pretty easy ways, when he's been misogynistic in clips in the past, to assassinate his character and put him through a long, lengthy, expensive legal battle that's going to, you know, drag his name through the mud and disparage everything that he says to a large group of people. That makes sense that they would do that, right? I don't know who he is. I don't know if he's a good guy. I don't know any of those things. But I know that he says some shit that makes a lot of sense. I just think that critical thinking needs to be in play here, and we need to look at, even if someone's not a great guy and you don't, and you don't really want to be involved with them in the long run, it doesn't mean that you can't get some nuggets of gold out of them. That doesn't mean they can't say some things where you go, you know what? I don't know about that guy, but what he's fucking saying makes sense. So don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So he's popping up all over Twitter and social media and Instagram and everything again. I'd encourage you to like have a look, have a listen, find out what you think for yourself. Don't let all the noise around you decide for you if you think the guy's legit or not, if you think he's a creep or not, or even if you think he is a creep or not. Is he still making sense with some of the things he's saying? Are they his thoughts? I don't know. Again, it does seem like it to me, but there's something there. There's something there, right? So very interesting, very complicated. And there's definitely been a change towards much more positive influence since he's been out of prison. So I'm interested to see where that goes and what happens with that prison case and if it gets fully thrown out of court, because he's starting to sue some of the people that made accusations against him now. So we'll see really what happens with this case over the next few months and if it was all bullshit or if the guy is in fact a piece of shit and he's saying all these things now to try and rebrand himself. I don't know. If he is just rebranding himself, he's fucking good at it because he is a smart dude. And you may have seen the trends amongst those other people I said, like Jordan Peterson and Joe Rogan and other guys like that. So I don't know, man. We'll see. Watch this space. Went down a bit of a rabbit hole there, but yeah, it was just funny how I got caught up in it. I said the guy's name without knowing anything about him, then got attacked online by people I know in real life and shamed, said that they thought I would be – they thought more of me because I was a father, and I was like, what the fuck? And looked into it, and I was like, okay, man, I don't want to be involved with what this guy's being accused of. And then as the stories unfolded more, I'm like, hang on, is this shit even real, or is he just had some allegations thrown at him that people are so scared of being tarnished with that we all just back away? Because we've seen that shit happen time and time again. It's the classic playbook now that has been uncovered during the COVID thing. We don't like what that person's saying or what this people group of people stands for, so we're going to accuse them of this horrific thing, this horrible thing, and then anyone that's weak will just back away from them because they're like, whoa, I don't want any of that to stick on me, so I'm just abandon this person or this fucking movement or this group of people. And it works. So is that what's happening with the guy? Or is he a fucking rapist human trafficker? Well, I don't know. That's a big claim for someone that's already a millionaire and an entrepreneur to be trafficking people. I don't know, man. Is it worth it? I don't know. I don't know. Well, guess we'll find out and see. All I'm saying is have a look into it. Use your critical thinking skills, which I know a lot of us have to dust off and actually employ our own critical thinking to a situation instead of just fucking herd thinking. And see what you think for yourself when the noise is quietened down, because I'm still trying to figure it out. That's it, man. That's all I got. That's it. So, yeah. Watch this space. We're back down the heady soon. I'm going to speak to the manager there and have a bit of a look around, see what the fuck the plans are moving forward. Super excited I got to go down there and experience that and see how this unfolds over the next few months while we're still in town. Very exciting for the town. And that's it, man. Average Man Podcast, episode number 155. Oh, yeah, before I go, Instagram. Help me with the followers.